มวยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide
All right, how's everybody doing? This is the Striking Corner Podcast, and I am your host, Eric Rivera, and welcome to another great episode of the Striking Corner Podcast, and along with me, as always, is Vinny Scotto. What's going on, man? I know you're under the weather, bro.
Yeah, I don't know what keeps happening. I keep getting sick for some reason. It's pretty obnoxious.
Yeah, well, I know it's cold up there, man, so it's been cold up there, huh? It's been like, there was a blizzard or something last week?
I don't even know, man. This weather's crazy. One day it's 60, the next day it's 20 and snowing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I know you had to like close the gym for a bit, like last week or something, for like a day or two or something, right?
Yeah, just for a day, which it's ridiculous because again, the people in the weather, they have in the news, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So like they're telling us this huge ridiculous blizzard is coming and. Just kind of like what they do in Florida with the hurricanes, how they, yeah. they make it seem like it's the world's coming to an end.
Yeah.
And then you get like 3 inches of snow. So normally I don't close the gym for snow because, you know, people don't want to get stuck in the house. So I open.
Yeah.
But they said, oh, you're getting 18 to 24 inches. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to close the gym. Next day there was like 5 inches of snow. Ridiculous.
Yeah. 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 It's not, that's what they say, man. It's not an exact science. So yeah, they always err on the side of caution, I guess. But yeah,
I wish I could get paid to be wrong.
Oh yeah, well we don't get paid anything, and I guess we're kind of always wrong on here. But anyway, so how's everything going, man? I know you are looking forward to some sleep.
Everything is good, man. Yeah. All is well.
All right, that's good.
How's everything with you?
Good, good, good. My son is wrecking everything. He's going to be two in a couple months. I mean, sorry, in a couple weeks, and it looks like we have another one on the way.
when he reaches two in a couple weeks,
yeah,
are you going to stop referring to him as being 24 months old? Can you just say 2 years old?
No, we're going to keep on. We're going to keep that on until he's maybe like 20.
Oh, when he's 5, you're gonna say he's 60 months old.
Yeah, no, I think I think the official cutoff is 2 years old. Then you can just say he's 2 years old.
Good.
Yeah, he's two. He's two.
You stopped it already.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, man. So anyway, so let's. I guess we're gonna move through this pretty quickly.
Wait, did you just sneak some news in there that I missed?
Yeah. The news that. My wife is pregnant. She's going to have another one. I'm going to have two kids now, man.
Oh, congratulations.
No, just joking. it's cool, man. We were planning on it. And it's actually been not as easy. It's been kind of some ups and downs here and there, unfortunately, in order for her to get pregnant. And, you know, lost a couple here, so and there. And it's been tough, man. But she's pregnant and everything's going well. So yeah, we're very happy about it. And my time was already limited. Now I'm going to have even less time to do things. So
well, congratulations, man. I wish you guys the best.
Yeah, man. Thanks. And yeah, man, we're happy and just taking it one day at a time. And now I guess since we have, you know, when you have experience with the first one, we're a little bit, you know, less kind of freaking out and, you know, less reading on it and books and all sorts of stuff like that. Cause we kind of know, we know what to expect in a way. So, but it's, I mean, I'll just tell you like a quick news, I guess, in that sense is that, we can, you know, already the pregnancy for my wife has been a little bit more unique than when we had Lucas because, you know, Lucas was pretty much like from start to finish, it was almost like she didn't get like the nausea or all that type of stuff. She said she felt great like pretty much the entire time all the way through. Maybe towards the end she was already like, you know, really stressed and just kind of wanted to give birth already. But this one has been a roller coaster because it's already been a couple it's been like almost 12 weeks now, and she's definitely been feeling like the nausea since day one and not being able to eat much and everything. So it's hit her harder. So it's already unique in that sense.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Be a long road ahead of her.
Yeah, man. But I guess they say the first 3 months are the toughest. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, excited. And just another member to the Striking Corner family. Yep. All right. So before we get into our interview, which we have an awesome guest today, let's just talk a little bit about our good friends at MuayThaiAddict.com. Remember, everybody, MuayThaiAddict.com is your place to get some top quality Muay Thai shorts and Muay Thai gear. They have, you know, their own proprietary set of gear now and brand of gear. They have the gloves and shin pads and things like that, so you can check them out. They have great t-shirts as well. But everybody knows them for their shorts. They sponsor guys, like they sponsor Lion Fight. They've been doing the shorts for Lion Fight. They've been doing the shorts for Gaston Bolaños and for Kevin Ross and for Cowboy Donald Cerrone. They've been doing a lot of stuff, and a lot of people love them. I know they're out there in a lot of different shows, and you guys see Shannon and, you know, putting the table out and buy, you know, so that you guys can buy shorts at some of these events everyone goes to, the amateur events. So they do a lot for the sport, and we love them. They're down here actually in my neck of the woods here in Florida, and they're close friends of ours. We really like working with them. So MuayThaiAddict.com, they'll extend on our friendship to you guys for, so what, if you use the coupon code at checkout, using the coupon code STRIKING, you will get a discount of 10% off your entire purchase. So you guys can do that when you head to MuayThaiAddict.com and buy any of their gear online on their website and not their pro shop at MuayThaiAddict.com. Also, we have Three Leopard Liniment. Three Leopard Liniment is a, you know, Thai oil, pretty much similar to Naman Muay, but we like it a lot better than Naman Muay. Made here in the States, made in California. So a great group of guys behind the Three Leopard. A lot of people are using them. A lot of people have already told us they love this stuff. So check them out at threeleopard.com. Use the promo code STRIKING and you'll actually get 15% off. Some great stuff. I've been using it. I've been running a lot lately since we're going to California pretty soon. Vinny and I, we're going to go train with the guys over there at CSA. So I've been getting ready and, you know, so I can hang. So basically I've been doing a lot of running, and it really helps. It really helps with my calves and stuff and everything. Feeling loosening up and stuff. And I know, Vinny, you've had some shoulder issues and shit like that, and helps you with that. So it's good stuff. So good stuff. Check them out. ThreeLeopard.com. Use the promo code STRIKING. All right. So, as we said, we have a very special guest today. Somebody we wanted to continue on in this theme that we've had, in this vein of interviewing top women that are involved in the sport of Muay Thai, or in, you know, just covering the sport of Muay Thai, involved in the fighting game, or invited in, basically in combat sports as a whole. We've already had Janet Todd, we had Phoenix, and today we're going to have an awesome guest. She is considered one of the top female Muay Thai fighters in the world right now at her, in her weight class, which is 52 kilos, I believe she said, which is about 120 pounds is really what she fights around. It is none other than Iman Barlow, pretty killer, all the way from the UK. She has a multitude of titles, a very unique story. We loved talking to her. I mean, she has fought over, you'll see it, hear about it more in the podcast, but, you know, she's got like over 200 fights almost. So it's pretty nuts. And we didn't know all the stuff that we got to learn from her in this podcast. So we're really excited to present it to you guys. So we'll be right back in just a few seconds with Iman Barlow, all the way from the UK.
The Striking Corner.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Striking Corner, or welcome back to the Striking Corner. As we had mentioned, we have a very special guest on our podcast today, all the way from the UK, all the way from the other side of the pond, as we like to say here in America. It is none other than current Lion Fight Super Bantamweight champion. She was also Infusion World champion, European World champion. There's so many titles to her name. She has about 98 fights, currently with a record of 90 wins, 3 draws and 5 losses. Welcome to the show, Iman Pretty Killer Barlow. What is going on?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So how's everything going? I know you just came off. I mean, I was looking at your record, but you just fought 2 weeks ago. So you've been, I mean, with a record like that, You've been, you're pretty active.
Yeah, that's right. I've just finished training because I've got a fight again in just under 2 weeks at the O2 Muay Thai Grand Prix, which obviously also work in partnership with Lion Fight. So I'm really excited and I'll be fighting for their world title.
Yeah, yeah. You're fighting Therese Gunnarsson out of Sweden, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she's really good.
Okay, so that's for a world title. And is that at the same weight class you're currently at in Lion Fight?
Yeah, I think it's the same weight class. I think it's just half a kilo lighter.
Okay.
53.5.
And that's your normal weight class is what? You usually fight around 52 to 57?
We don't really usually do it that big here, but it's like 53, 54 kilos.
Okay. Okay. So that's like 117 pounds, I guess.
Yeah. Lion Fight's 120. So around that. Yeah.
Okay. I got you. All right. So, okay. So, Iman, we wanted to talk to you, I guess, a little bit for people that don't know Iman. I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys do here in the United States. We have, you know, there's a lot of followers now that are following, especially women in Muay Thai, women in combat sports. You know, we definitely know you from your fights overseas, but now with Lion Fight, of course. So, but...
Yeah.
You know, you've been around the game for a long time, and I think your story is pretty interesting because of the fact that pretty much it seems that Muay Thai and fighting is very much a family affair in your case. So talk to us a little bit about how you started training, because I know that you are out of the Assassins Muay Thai Boxing Club, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about how you started, because I was reading that you started at the age of 2. You know, you're currently 23. What are you, 23 right now?
Yeah, I'm 24 next month, so nearly 20 years. And well, I had my first fight at 4, so nearly 20 years in the sport, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is mad.
Okay.
4 years old was your first fight?
Yeah. Yeah, it was against a boy as well.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got started. I know it's, like I said, it's a family affair, but how did it all get started?
Yeah. So my mum met my dad through the sport. My dad, as you said, owns Assassins Muay Thai. And my mum fought before she met him. And then when she met him, she kind of moved to the gym as well. I was born and I, instead of getting a babysitter, they'd just take me down the gym and kind of sit me there, play with my toys. I just started joining in. And when I look back at pictures and stuff, it wasn't actually, you know, my mum and my dad that were holding the pads for me. They never forced me into it. I just used to get, you know, some of the fighters or whoever to take me on the pads. And I used to go on the running machine at 2, 2.5, like just, you know, jogging, walking along. Like I was just mad for it. And then it just kind of started from there. As I said, I had my first fight at 4 years old, obviously with all the protection. Against a boy, and just every weekend we travel up and down the country, you know, doing what we call here interclub. So you know, fights with, well, kind of fights, non-decision fights with the shin pads, and that's how I gained my experience. And yeah, just from there, it just got bigger and bigger, and the more opportunities came. My dad used to take us a lot to Thailand, obviously, when we were young. I think I went to Thailand the first time when I was 8 years old for 6 weeks in the school summer holidays. Mm. And just been every year since then for 6 weeks. So that obviously helped me a lot. And I had my first fight when I was 8 in Thailand. I mean, that was against a boy, but I had shin pads on because, you know, my dad wasn't sure, you know, I was a young girl and it was strange to fight a boy. It's not many people that could say they did that over in Thailand at that time.
Yeah.
So I had shin pads on and he didn't. And yeah, I got a draw with him. And then the next year I went back and I had a few fights while I was out there within 6 weeks and we took the shin pads off and I was doing all right. So yeah.
Wow. All right. So that's definitely a story there.
So I'm just how many boys have you fought in your life?
So I started not fighting boys when I was 12. So from the age of like 4 to 12, I'd say half of them fights were with boys. So over 50. A lot of boys obviously didn't want to fight me because I was a girl, and you know, there's that whole thing of, you know, I don't want to fight a girl, I don't want to hurt her. But a lot of the time, I was hurting them.
Very cool. Very cool. So yeah. So you fought. Yeah. You fought. You said. What did you say? 50.
I mean, I had over 100 junior fights, but yeah, over 50 were boys.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'd just get matched with anyone. You know, I'd have more than one fight in one day. If someone didn't have a match, you know, I'd step in. I was kind of like a fighting machine. I couldn't get enough of it when I was younger.
All right. So you went, you said you had a lot of junior fights. You had how many you said over 100?
Yeah, definitely over 100.
Oh, wow. Okay. So basically you're well into the 200, almost into the 200s then.
Yeah. So obviously I've got my 99th professional fight coming up in 2 weeks. And then I plan to have another one in May, end of May. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'm going to have a party.
All right. So I wanted to ask, so you had a lot of junior fights. When was your official, your first pro fight? What age did you turn pro?
I'd say at 12 years old.
Okay.
I fought in Thailand on the Queen's birthday.
Okay. Oh, very cool.
I find it hard to talk because I was echoing then. Yeah, I fought on the Queen's birthday when I was 12 years old, obviously. That was the first fight I ever got paid for.
Yeah.
I didn't get a lot. I think it was about £20-30 in English money. Mm-hmm. But it was an amazing experience. And that was actually my first loss. I was 12 years old and I fought a girl that was 16, 17. And I fought in front of 500,000 people in the park. Back then it was a massive deal. I mean, now they have you know, loads of events going on, but at the time there was one event to be on, and it was an all-girl show at Sanam Luang Park in main Bangkok, and it was crazy. Yeah, I loved it, but I lost, but it was a great experience and it was a good fight.
Yeah Okay. So, well, I mean, that is a big, that is a big show. So that's the Queen's birthday. So, okay. So you've done, like, I'm looking here at your record. I mean, you fought a who's who of names over the years. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to say, because your life has always been revolved around fighting. I mean, what was it like? Yeah. I guess growing up, I mean, were you, when you went to school and everything, I mean, were you, how, what was it like growing up as the girl in school that was always the fighter that you were traveling? I mean, was it a weird sort of upbringing compared to other people? Would they?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, obviously, yeah. All the other kids were doing different things, you know, mm-hmm. having parties or whatever. And sometimes I couldn't attend because I was away fighting. I had other commitments. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't say I missed out a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, I wasn't there at some things for different reasons. But the fact that, you know, when the school summer holiday came along, you know, people were talking about, you know, staying in England and going to the beach for the weekend and stuff, and I was like, I'm going to Thailand for 6 weeks. They were like, what?
Yeah.
And it's not until you're older that you realise how lucky you are.
Yeah.
You know, and how grateful I am to my dad and my mum for taking us there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I wanted to ask you too, being okay. So it's, I mean, right now, like, I mean, here in the States for a long time, let's say, I mean, and this is something that we've been bringing up in different podcasts, speaking to different women. You know, here in the United States, it was kind of like a big deal, you know, obviously that when MMA for women started, because the UFC at first was, you know, it was always the biggest show in town. For many years, they didn't allow women, you know, they even came out, the head of it, which was Dana White, is Dana White, came out publicly and said, oh, women are never going to fight in the UFC. But then, you know, that's obviously changed, and women are now, you know, a big draw, especially people like Ronda Rousey at one time and now other fighters. But now, I mean, it's always been, I think Muay Thai has always been, and I've always said this, the one thing about Muay Thai is that it seems like Muay Thai has always been a little bit more accepting of women, maybe I would say more so abroad than inside Thailand itself. But
yes.
But what I wanted to ask you is, you know, you grew up pretty much around fighting since you were a kid, and being a woman and being a girl, I mean, how growing up and telling other, you know, other of your classmates and stuff that you were going to fight, and obviously, I mean, I don't know if you know you went to school with boys and things like that. What was it? What was their idea of it? Was it did your parents get like? What we would say flack, did they get like controversy because they were putting, they felt like they were forcing their girl to fight, or people thought they were forcing her, you to fight. I mean, tell us a little bit about that experience. I mean, being so young, but being a woman coming up and fighting like at this level.
Yeah. I mean, still to this day, I get a lot of people when I tell them what they do or they find out, they don't like it. You know, the fact that a girl is fighting and they don't think it's right. Like, not long ago, I got cut, just a little tiny one, from like a accidental headbutt. And I went to the hospital and she asked me how I did it. And I told her, and I just got a really negative vibe off her. She didn't necessarily say anything, but I don't think she was impressed.
Yeah.
And I feel like, not embarrassed, but kind of at a sort, like that, you know, she kind of looks down on me and doesn't think I should be doing it. But it's just a sport. One of my friends rides horses, and she gets way more injuries, serious injuries than me. And I'm doing a full contact sport. Like, I've always said that, you know, and when I go, you know, walk around and I've got a black eye, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
But you know, you feel like people are looking at you, and some people say, "Oh, I bet they think your boyfriend beats you," and things like that. I'm like, "Well, that would be true if I had a boyfriend." But yeah, just things like that. Sometimes I think people look down on you because you're a woman, kind of in a man's sport. But within the sport, I think everyone's so supportive, and you know, they don't look down on you because you're a girl. You know, I've been main events or co-main events on many shows, and that just, you know, gives you confidence about people believing in you and believing in women, and that you'll put on a good show.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's different here. I mean, here in the U.S., I think there's. We were speaking with Phoenix Carnivale, is a good friend of ours. She's actually a fighter, but she's more so now a reporter on the sport. She talks to a lot of UFC fighters and things like that. And she was telling us that she felt like the negative attention always came more so from the fans and people outside the sport than the people that were fighters themselves, or, you know, people inside the sports, which I think is what you just reiterated and said, you know, inside the sport, people are supportive of it. Outside of it, not so much. And in the UK, I mean, here in the US, I think it's growing to where I don't see a lot of too much negativity. I mean, there is some against women fighting.
Yeah.
But how is it in the UK? I mean, you just gave us one experience. I mean, is it something that you feel, I know now with social media, there's a lot of haters that come out and say things. Do you feel like there's a lot more animosity towards women fighting? Is there still a lot of that, or is it becoming more widely accepted?
I think it's becoming more acceptable, especially, you know, getting the young people involved. If you're seen as a good role model, you know, which I'd say maybe I am, but inspiring young people, if you're inspiring young people and, you know, young kids and kids look up to you, I think it's an amazing feeling, and nobody can, you know, bring you down for that if you're doing a good thing, you know, because it's part of society as well. And helping young kids, I think that's my main kind of outlook, and the main messages I get are off kids, and it's just a nice feeling to be helping people.
Okay.
I mean, after talking to you for a few minutes, you seem like the type of person to not let, you know, the negativity get to you. Like, it seems like you could probably brush that off pretty easy.
Growing up in the sport, you obviously have people talking negatively towards you, and it doesn't, people within the sport as well, but you cannot please everyone. I just think, you know, I am happy. I'm doing what I love, and I'm traveling the world. I'm in a good place. I've got a good job. I've got good friends. I've got good family that support me. I'm happy within myself. Why should I let someone who doesn't know me say something about me and let it affect me? Like, it is hard, and you do get messages, and there are people that have no idea who you are. But yeah, just ignore them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's strange to me. I mean, I think it's not strange. I would say it's different also because you come from a very unique background in the sense that you, and even more so than, I would say more so than a lot of men in the sport too, in the fact that yeah. you have a unique, story of having grown up your entire life in this sport. So it's almost like you've never known anything pretty much different. So I think it might be easy yeah. for you to brush off a lot of comments because it's like, well, I mean, I've been doing this all my life. Maybe I've been used to this. You know, there's always going to be comments here and there, pretty much yeah. around the sport all the time. I mean, what's the most, I would say, what is, haters are always going to find something, but I'm yeah. wondering what is the biggest criticism that you may have received?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Is there anything specific they don't like?
I get a lot of criticism off my dad.
Oh, okay.
obviously, you know, if I don't perform well, you've done this wrong, that wrong, and we're yeah. going to improve it. And I find that really hard sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
I won my last fight. I won it, like, not easy, but I won it, all five rounds. But when I came off it, I felt sad in a way because I didn't perform. Mm-hmm. But not every fight you can perform, you know, and make people look silly. Do you know what I mean? So now I feel like there's a pressure to perform as well as to win. Before it was to win, but now it's to perform.
Yeah.
But the pressure's coming from myself because, you know, I feel disappointed in myself if mm-hmm. I don't impress or do certain things in the ring that I should be doing or that I've been doing in training. Mm-hmm. But as to negative comments from other people, it's just kind of, you know, you should fight so-and-so, you should fight this, why don't you fight her, why don't you go up a weight and fight this person?
Yeah.
You know, I don't choose who I fight. I get offered fights, and if they're not right for me, they're not at the right weight or a different date where I'm already committed, you know, it's hard. It's not just easy as fighting everyone you can.
Yeah,
So that's like kind of I don't deal with that side, and I'm glad.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's a common theme too in the fighting game. I don't think you're unique in that sense because I think that's something that yeah. a lot of guys get to of oh, you know, because it's weird because now that the fans can and social media with the growth of it can say and like have so much input, you know, and say, yeah. oh, you know, why don't you fight this one? Or if somebody says like, yeah, Iman Barlow is one of the best, you know, women in the game right now because of, you know, how much you fought. And I'm here looking at your record and I'm looking at the people you fought and I'm like, you know, I was telling Vinny, holy shit, you know, there's like, because I went down, I had to scroll down quite a bit on the page to actually find yeah. the last time that you lost. I mean, I don't know if, you know, how accurate this is, but I'm looking that you haven't lost a fight since 2014. So.
Yes. Yeah, a couple of years.
Yes,
yeah, about three years in September.
Exactly.
Not counting.
And yeah, and so I'm looking at all these, you know, all these accomplishments and everything like that. And I'm pretty sure you're gonna get people that say, oh, but you haven't fought so and so yet, but you haven't fought so and so yet. And that's something that happens in the world right now. I mean, you know, we're you know, this podcast is coming out on Tuesday, but you know, yesterday, Gennady Golovkin in a boxing match just fought. And, you know, he had this seemingly, I would say this aura of invincibility. And then yesterday yeah. it was a very, very close fight. I actually had Jacobs winning thinking I thought Jacobs won. And so it was like, it's very like you said, this pressure to perform, because I think a lot of people now that maybe felt he was at always are going to, there's always these people that no matter how good somebody does, they kind of always are hoping they lose, you know, because they,
yes.
kinda,
oh, so, 100%,
that they so that they can have an excuse to say, oh, this person is not as good as everybody says they are. So yeah. with like,
but I didn't say I was good in the first place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I always think.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. You know. Exactly. And it's not like Triple G goes around I mean, he's actually a guy that doesn't talk crap at all. You know, he doesn't go yeah. around saying to people he's the best in the world, you know, but, you know, he didn't perform as people expected him to perform. So I'm sure he's going to get backlash from that. And yeah. like you said, from your last fight, you felt you didn't perform. So maybe there's people that say, ah, you know, I don't know how she would do against so-and-so. And maybe she's not as good as, you know, everybody says she is, whatever, you know. So I wanted to talk to you about this because it was somewhat controversial, you know. There was, because, you know, everybody, you know, we're in a podcast based in the U.S. So obviously
yep.
our poster girl for kickboxing and Muay Thai here in the United States is Tiffany Van Soest.
Yep.
You were supposed to, I guess there was this whole thing that at some point, I don't know what happened, but there was this issue with that you were going to be at Glory or fight on that Glory tournament that they had where she fought. Yeah. And then eventually you didn't end up at that tournament, ended up going to Lion Fight. We all know she has a history with Lion Fight and actually left Lion Fight to go to Glory. And then it was funny because I read your comment and you were kind of saying something about, you know, how it would be great to fight her or something like that. I don't know exactly I don't know if she misinterpreted it or what happened, but she kind of took it as a call out. And and then she like responded back to you. You kind of said, oh, you know, you're not, or either that you were dodging her or something for being in Lion Fight rather than Glory.
Yeah.
So what was the whole back and forth on that?
So it started. I got a message, or I spoke to my manager. Yeah. Of Infusion, my Dutch manager, still under contract with Infusion.
Yeah.
And he said, I might have a fight for you on Glory. And I thought, Glory? Really? That's weird. Like, you know, they are competitors.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it's against Isis Verbeck. I can't remember. It must have been back in like June time anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Isis, yeah, I'd love to fight her. I didn't really get on with her in the Infusion reality show.
Oh, okay.
Which wasn't very nice to me.
There's some beef.
Yeah. I was like, okay, yeah. I'd be happy to fight Isis.
Yeah.
And then I got asked to, this was all through Infusion, all through Edwin. I got asked to go to LA, I think it was LA, to have a photo shoot and kind of like a press conference. And I was like, I have work commitments. It's really late notice. It was like 5 days before. I said, I can't get the time off work and I'm not going on my own. And then I think it was Friday morning, I woke up and I'd just seen it on Facebook that I was part of an 8-woman tournament. And at first I was like, what? And showed my mum, showed my dad. Well, my mum actually woke me up and showed me. And then I was kind of like buzzing, like what? Like, and then Glory did the rankings and I was number one and I was like, ha, like this is so cool. And then the more we thought about it, the more it was like, this isn't the right thing for me. I was under talks of actually going to Lion Fight because my contract was ending with Infusion. So before this happened, I was going to have a contract with Lion Fight and had signed it. And also I was renewing my contract with Infusion. So mm-hmm. my dad kind of said, you know, we didn't put our name down for this and it was at a heavier weight than what I fight at as well. They've kind of kept it under wraps from us. Like, I don't want you to do it. So, you know, when my dad has kind of like a gut instinct, mm-hmm. I go with it. And I was kind of like upset because, you know, I'd said that even though it wasn't, you know, they'd just kind of said it, I'd put on my Facebook like, how amazing is this? I'm going to fight in Glory on this tournament. So I felt like I was kind of letting people down, you know, I said that I'd do it. Well, I didn't say to them that I'd do it, but I, you know, put on Facebook, you know, and just kind of went with a whirlwind. So I was really upset about trying to please everyone and doing the right thing. But then, you know, again, at the end of the day, my dad knows me and, you know, it wasn't the right thing for me at the time. I'd had other commitments. And because they'd announced it on Facebook doesn't mean that I had to do it. I hadn't agreed. I hadn't signed a contract. And they sent a contract through and, you know, it really wasn't for me. The rules were crazy and you get penalized for certain things and it was kind of like, you know, I'm going to walk out of there and owe them money. I'm not going to be getting paid from all the fines and stuff. So I just felt my dad felt at the time it wasn't right for me, so we said no. And of course I went over to Lion Fight because I was contracted with them and just started that. But Tiffany was also supposed to fight in the Infusion Life tournament, the reality TV show as well. And she didn't, for whatever reason, she didn't participate in that. And then obviously the Glory thing, I didn't participate in that. A few times I had a few emails off, I don't know who it was at the time, from Lion Fight asking me to fight Tiffany. But that was when she was at the higher weight. She was at 57 kilos. So, of course, I declined. But also at the time I was under Infusion contract, so I couldn't just take fights here, there and everywhere. That's why I was only fighting for Infusion then. Mm-hmm. And then when I announced that I had kind of, you know, this is my fight online fight, and they announced that I was under contract with them. Someone put on my Facebook, oh, one step closer to Tiffany Van Zeus. And I just commented back saying, Van who? As a joke. And then someone sent it to her, and she's gone mental, mate. But, you know, it was just a joke with one of my friends. And
Yeah.
You know, the English are known for having a good sense of humour. Yeah. So obviously she took it the wrong way, but yeah. I don't have anything to say about that.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I do know about the English sense of humor, so
yeah,
definitely. I mean, we have our friend K1 Anoop, who I know you have spoken with, and he's he definitely, you know, he's got his sense of humor as well. So I understand, and it's weird because sometimes, I guess what I've noticed is that me being in this, and Vinny and I being in this game of, you know, talking to fighters and about fighting and things like that, I've written things in the past that have pissed off fighters. I've written things in the past that have, and I think it's weird because it's like, you know, there's a lot of fighters that are so tough in the ring, but then like outside of it, I'm not saying that they're not tough, but they're super sensitive to things being said, and I've run into that.
You get very defensive.
Very defensive when, you know, like you say, oh, so-and-so didn't look that good in this fight. And then all of a sudden they'll come back and like, oh, fuck you, man. Who are you to write anything? You know, I was like, okay, well, you know.
Thing what I do now is I don't go on things that I know will annoy me, like certain people or certain things. I'll see it and I'll just scroll. And then I think, shall I go back? No, just scroll. Keep scrolling. I just can't, you know, it's the best thing for me, you know, keep it out. Who cares?
I mean, continuing on with that a little bit, it's funny because I don't know who it was. I guess it was somebody who's a fan of yours, because we posted something on Facebook, which was Tiffany Van Zeus training. It was like a training montage or something. And and they got mad at me or something. And they were saying, oh, because I had said, like, you know, she's, you know, the killing it right now in the world of Muay Thai or whatever. And somebody brought up your name and said, oh, yeah, she wouldn't be able to, you know, fight my friend or whatever. I don't know who it was, because it was just basically their sign-in name. And she started going, it was a woman. She started going like back and forth with me. And I was just saying, it's a great fight. I hope it happens. You know, we don't favor one or the other. I think it wouldn't be as easy as you think it is, you know, because she was saying like that you would just like wipe the floor with her. And I was just like, I don't think it'll be that easy, but it's going to be a great fight for both of them, whatever. And she just like kept on disagreeing with me. So
that's things like that, that if I read that, even though she was, you know, kind of sticking up for me, I wouldn't be able to read it. It'd make me like cringing. But I just think, you know, she's a good fighter, I'm a good fighter. We're both on different paths at the minute, but I'm sure that soon, you know, we'll meet. We're both young. You know, and when the time comes, we both have different commitments, different contracts and so. And I think, you know, when it happens, it will happen.
Yeah. I mean, I just in your weight class, I really think that I guess it's the fight that a lot of people want to see, because you guys are the two that's especially and obviously in the English speaking world that follows fighting, of course, you know, you two and the UK and the US being, you know, pretty close to each other in the sense of obviously language and culture, and that we should, you know, there's a lot of fighters that come over here and fighters of the US that go over there, especially now with Muay Thai Grand Prix going back and forth, all that. I think a lot of people are like, and Glory going all over the world, that's the fight that a lot of people want to see. Hopefully it does happen. You know, we don't go either way. I mean, that's really why we wanted to get you on the podcast as well. But yeah, I mean, that's it was just an interesting thing about how that came about. But speak to me about, you know, Lion Fight. Now, was Lion Fight, because I was looking here at your record, Lion Fight, was that the first time you ever fought here in the US?
Yeah, the first time was obviously Foxwoods in Connecticut, and that's where I won the belt. And then I returned in January. January, for beginning of February. And I defended the belt in Las Vegas. That was pretty cool.
So
I want to go back a little bit before you were talking about you know, when you were looking at the contract for the Glory tournament and the rules and everything. So obviously you know, you've you know, you're a Muay Thai fighter. Have you ever fought in like Glory K1 rules before?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's what I kind of went into. That's what Infusion is. Yeah. It's kind of a mix between kickboxing and Muay Thai. It's kind of kickboxing rules, but you're allowed to clinch. It's limited and there's no elbows. And it's a lot of Dutch involved. So they are very good with their hands. So they box. And it's a lot of punch, punch, low kick, punch, punch, low kick. And a lot of girls that I fought on Infusion are Dutch, and that's what they do. But I always win because of the body kicks. Even though the body kicks don't score as much as they do like in Muay Thai, they're very effective, and you know, you wear your opponent down kind of thing. And that's kind of when we made the decision of I'm winning my fights, but I'm not performing well, and I'm disappointed with myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every fight was kind of different rules. And it's just slower thinking time in the ring. You know, oh, am I allowed to elbow? No, I'm not. You know, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? Hip throws you can do, hip throws you can't do. And I just felt like I was constantly thinking and constantly, I was adapting, but again, I wasn't performing to my best like I'd like to be. And that's when we made the decision to go back into Muay Thai, which is when Lion Fight came along. And, you know, so far, well, we're in March now, I would have had 3 fights. Mm-hmm. And they're all been Muay Thai, whereas a couple of years ago, they would have all been K1. So I'm going into more Muay Thai. Before, it wasn't where the money was. And that's when Infusion offered me the contract, and it was like a huge opportunity. And I still am with Infusion. Yeah. But, you know, I realise it's not all about the money. You know, I'd rather fight a good fight, Muay Thai, and maybe get a little bit less purse, but perform well.
Yeah, you had so a...
Muay Thai rules over K1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. I grew up doing Muay Thai. So when I adapted, it wasn't a massive thing, because growing up, I would go to competitions and I'd do the Muay Thai, I'd do the K1 and I'd do the kickboxing and I'd win it all. I have no idea how I didn't get disqualified. A lot of the time I'd get warnings. But yeah, it was kind of like that.
Yeah, you had a string of like 7 straight, when you did the Infusion Reality, it was like 7 straight K1 fights. You've been involved in K1. I mean, K1 rules, you know, that we bring that up, K1 rules, because that's kind of like the grandfather of that rule set. But I mean, it's weird to me because I see that Glory, everyone calls it K1 rules, but then it's Glory rules, and then I guess Infusion has its own rules, because I remember another very talented fighter is Denise Kielholz, who is Dutch as well, and she fought Tiffany Van Susteden Infusion and beat her, but then there was like a big controversy because she was doing like judo throws, but I guess those are allowed in
Infusion rules.
So it's like, it's strange, because it's like, I think that's always a kind of an issue with that. I think Vinny and I, we've talked about it before on our podcast. There's always sort of a weird issue with kickboxing, because with Muay Thai, it seems like Muay Thai now it's starting to come to, like, we all know what Muay Thai is and what it should be. But with kickboxing, it's like if you're going to do a kickboxing fight, you have to go to the rules meeting to understand, you know, what's going to be allowed and what's not going to be allowed, because it's always switching.
Spectators are not in the rules meeting, so sometimes they're even like, what is going on kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But now Infusion have took out the judo rules.
Okay.
So the last kind of Infusion fight I had, and I think I did one, and they're like, my dad was like, you're not allowed to do that. I was like, what? Since when? It's like last year. I was like, oh, yeah. It's hard. It's really hard to keep up.
Yeah. But no, yeah. So you definitely, like you said, you've gone from, because here's another question. I mean, Vinny brought it up, the K1 rules and the Muay Thai rules, and now you're talking about how you like being more in Muay Thai than being in K1, and that Muay Thai
becomes more natural. It becomes more natural to me.
But then we're talking about payment and about the growth. I guess the growth of the sport. Do you feel like, I mean, you're now doing more Muay Thai. Your last couple of fights have been Muay Thai. It seems to me that a lot of people, from our interviews that we've done with different fighters, it seems that a lot of fighters are going over to Glory or going over to now to Bellator kickboxing because there's more money in, or they feel that it's more lucrative to be in that rule set than it is to be in Muay Thai. But you are kind of stating the opposite of that. I mean, is it Is it really? Do you feel that Muay Thai is actually growing to a point where you are able to live off that income, or is K1 more that is K1 rules paying better?
I wouldn't know. Yeah. As I have a full time job because I fight regular. I fight 6-7 times a year. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be able to support myself on. I live at home, but if I didn't, you know, I wouldn't be able to support myself on that wage. And the fact that also, if you're injured or you know something happens, and people pull out, so you might end up having only 3 fights a year. You know that you're going to be mm-hmm. in the shit, as people say.
Yeah.
But I feel like at the time when I had the opportunity for 4 years ago to fight on Infusion. I was offered a contract, so it was kind of 6 fights, you get paid this much each fight, yeah. and if we don't get you them 6 fights, we'll still give you the money. Okay. So I was like, what?
Yeah,
that's crazy, you know, I've got my 6 fights, and my dad got it written in the contract that I can still fight on my dad's home shows, so uh-huh. that'd be 8 fights a year, and I'd definitely get money for 6 fights. Yeah. And that obviously continued for 3 years, the contract was, and after the second after the first year, the money went up. And after the second year, the third year, the money went up. So for me, being not new to it all, but, you know, just changing my rule set a little bit and I could have this continuous wage, it was good for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, now that you brought this up, I mean, I didn't know that you have a full-time job apart from fighting. I guess a lot of fighters too, especially when it comes to Muay Thai. We've seen that, you know, that they can't live off just Muay Thai, which is why, you know, which is why I said, like, we've talked to a lot of fighters and some fighters that do want to live off of Muay Thai, I mean, do want to live off of just fighting, have had to make the jump either to MMA or to K1, I mean, to like Bellator or Glory, and get like higher contracts or whatever. In this case, so how do you balance? I mean, what is it that you do as a day job? How do you balance that with your fight?
So I'm a teaching assistant. It's at an all boys school for boys that have behavioral difficulties. And yeah, I love my job. I work Monday to Friday, 8 till 4. Mm-hmm. At 8:30 till 4, sorry. So, you know, I'm training twice a day and working, especially when it gets nearer to the fight. It is really hard. It's a struggle. It's just the not lack of sleep, but the lack of naps. Usually I'd have like a nap in the daytime, you know, but I'm working. Yeah. So it is really hard. I get up at 10 to 6, which doesn't, at the time it was like, oh my god, how am I gonna live? That is so early.
Yeah.
But now, like, you know, talking to other people, they get up around the same, and I don't know, sort their kids out or do this, do that. But I get up at 10 to 6, go for a jog, go in the gym, do pads with my dad, and then get ready for work. And then as soon as I get home from work, have my dinner, and then it's 30 minutes kind of, well, I wouldn't even say chill time. I've got 30 minutes to get dressed and get in the gym.
Yeah.
But I'm quite lucky because my gym is in my back garden, so I don't have far to travel.
and also, and also your trainer is your dad, so you can't really run away from it.
I know. That's what a lot of people say. You know, you're so lucky. You know, your gym's in your garden. Your dad's your trainer. Like, not I've got it all, but like, you know, you're different. Like, I can't do what you do. And I'm like, why not? I still do it myself. Like, even though, my dad's there to shout at me when I'm not waking up or this or that, you know, you can still do it. I do it. You can do it. It's the same. We're not different. It's just, you know, who wants it more?
Yeah, it's discipline.
But obviously, obviously, like, it's a massive help, my dad being there, because there's no way I'd miss a session, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like... You know, sometimes you can call your trainer and say, oh, I'm sick or whatever, and you can't do that because he's right there.
Yeah, no, exactly. That wouldn't even be an excuse either. You know, training and you'll feel better.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually, going back a little bit, you were saying you grew up in this, your parents kind of, because I always wonder, you know, me being a new father, Vinny's a new father, you know, we're always wondering, you know, hey, you know, how do you bringing it, you kind of think about, do you want to bring your kids into this sport? You know, both Vinny and I have fought. We know what it takes to be in the ring. Obviously not at a super high level as you have, but we do, you know, we have been there. And it's always, I would say, you know, always your parents, I guess, did a good job in the sense that you were saying they never kind of forced you to do anything. They just brought you to the ring and then you sort of picked it up because you were surrounded by it. Did you ever feel, I mean, I guess, I know, I mean, I don't want to say that, did you ever feel forced, but in a way, did you feel like you had to, or did you just, did you fall in love with the sport because you were around it so much? Was it natural? Because I mean, I think some people, you know, some people wouldn't, you know, because maybe your dad's, maybe your dad's dream was, yes, I want my daughter to do Muay Thai because that's what I do. And your mom too, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we all know that there are some coaches that they have kids and their kids have no interest in the sport, you know? So, I mean, I just wanted to say, you know, did you fall, how did you fall in love with it? What about it made you fall in love with it?
So I think it was a bit of both. So I was in love with it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And as a teenager, as every teenager is, you go through your stages of being a wild child or trying to be. Mm-hmm. And all my mates were going out drinking, too young, obviously. We all try and grow up before our time. You know, had sleepovers. I wasn't allowed to go because they know they weren't sleepovers. so I kind of rebelled at the age of, I can't remember, 16, 17. I kind of got fed up with it all, not being able to, not being able to not go to things, but my friends were allowed to do a lot more than I was. So, you know, I kind of got fed up and I left home for a year, went mad, drinking every weekend, eating loads of crap, takeaways all the time. and then something just came to me and I was like, literally, like, I put on so much weight. And some people were asking if I was pregnant. I was just fat. And it just like kind of came to me. I was like, what am I doing to myself? Seeing all my Muay Thai friends on Facebook, going here, there and everywhere and fighting all the time. And I was like, wow, I missed that. So I went back home. And I just says, you know, do you want to fight? And I said, yeah. He's like, well, you know, you're going to have to lose the weight. I was like, I know. He's like, it's going to be hard. I was like, I know, I'll do it. And I went back to doing, you know, from smashing it, fighting, to going back to 1-2 kick, doing it 10 times and being out of breath because I'm a bit chub.
Yeah.
so it was really hard. And I think that first fight back, it was actually against Miriam Uslu, who I fought.
Recently, yeah. The last line.
Yeah, fight. Online fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a tough fight back for me, you know, being away from the sport for over a year, losing all that weight. But I won. I can't really remember how I won, if it was like a good fight or whatever. But just, you know, just I kept on it, training all the time, going back to my old routines and doing it. And that was kind of the first time I felt like I really wanted it for me, because I knew, you know, what it's like to not be normal, but, you know, it's who I am. I find it so like boring, you know. I train and I can't wait for my week off. It's not the fight, it's the week off. And I fight and I win and I'm happy, and then I have my week off and I'm like, oh, what do people do? Like, I go around mates and I watch telly and like it's all right, and then the time just goes like that and I've got to go to bed and ready for work the next day. I'm like, oh, I should have trained, it wasn't that bad, do you know what I mean? So I think it's kind of, it's helped me a lot.
So I'm
I love
seeing,
the sport now.
So I'm seeing here that year, that infamous year was 2010, it appears.
Yeah. How long ago was that then? 6 years ago.
Yeah.
24 nearly. Yeah, that was probably true, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm seeing it here. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that was the year. But you know what? It's interesting to me because I like to obviously get to know more about the fighter behind the fighter, you know, the person behind the fighter. Yeah. And that's, you know, what we want to discover, you know, who are you besides being Imam Barlow, this Muay Thai fighter? There's obviously more to you than that. And I think it's really interesting because the reason I brought it up, and and I don't think it's too strange that you would have a year where you completely go off like that, because number one, you were like 16 or 17. You grew up your entire life doing this. You know, it's crazy, you know, that it would be strange for you not to have a moment where you're like, is this what I want to do with the rest of my life? You know? Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, but then I guess you kind of, you fell in love with it both times, and that's, and then I guess the second time around, you definitely said to yourself, this is what I do want to do with the rest of my life, because it's been nonstop since then, you know? So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
100%. And I feel like I'm really grateful, because I think a lot of people go through it, but some people go through it for a longer period of time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like I have, you know, three friends that grew up in the sport as well. And you know, at the same age, 16, 18 ish, gone mad, drinking, not come back. I actually had a friend, he came back training, he'd put on loads of weight, and he had a comeback fight, and he did so well. And then he just, you know, oh, I'll come back Tuesday. Tuesday weren't there. Come on, Troy, come back. Yeah. I'll be there Thursday. And he weren't there. And it's been like over a year now, and he's got excuses and excuses. Yeah. And, you know, he wants to come back, but he just finds it difficult, you know, with having working these hours or got these commitments or can't bother today. So yeah, I'm just glad that it was only a year.
Yeah, I'm currently in that state. It's been like
it's hard.
It is. I mean, and I don't want to bring it up as like my kid is the excuse, because I always say that that's unfair, you know. But I had like I said, I had my son is going to be 2 years old, and after my son was born, I swear I took like a year and a half off, and it just got harder and harder to get back in the gym, and it got. Yeah. That's the thing I understand now more so now. I mean, it's funny because I used to be the very, very active one. And I remember, you know, Vinny wasn't as active at that time as I was. And then it kind of switched, because now he's like, you know, running his gym and doing his thing. And, you know, I'm the one with the 9-to-5 job and everything. And I mean, I help out at the gym that I go to, but I'm not the owner of it. So it's kind of like, you know, those, you go through that at different times. And now I'm like, I'm 34 and I'm thinking, you know, am I ever going to get back in the ring or whatever? But, but I understand it. And the thing is, the more you stay away from it, the easier it becomes to come up with excuses. It just snowballs. And it's so hard, because, my coach hates me for it, because a lot of times he'll be like, you know, you did all this work to get down to this weight. And, because I fought like in light heavyweight, so I was in like the 200s, and then he would be like, "Oh, you got down to 205. It's amazing, don't you?" And then like 2 weeks later, I was like 235, 240, and he's like, "What the fuck, man?"
you know,
like we did That's all this normal. Work. Yeah, but no, I totally understand that, and it's cool that, you know, you brought that up of how you went through that. You know, that you went through this sort of. I would say I think everyone goes to that, where they have to check what they really want, and you got it at a younger age, more so because I think you grew up. It's cool because you kind of grew up very quickly, in the sense that you were in the fighting game. You had so many years of doing it. So when you got to 16, you were already kind of a vet, you know, like a veteran, a veteran in the sport. And at that point you're like, do I really want to do this anymore? You know? And then it comes back to you, and you're like, 100%. So, it's funny, because I had met this fighter in Thailand, from Kosamrit, and I remember we were one of the guys that was training with us was an American, and we was running with one of the guys from Kosamrit, and he had been there for like a year training, this American guy, and he was running every day. And I guess one of the days he was like bitching about it, like, oh man, I'm so tired of having to wake up and run every day, two times a day, and do all this stuff. And the guy next to him, which was, I forgot his name, but one of the fighters that was next to him said to him, oh yeah, man, totally. I totally get you. I've been doing this every day since I've been like 4, but like really sarcastic, you know, like stop bitching about it. You've been doing it for like a year. I've been doing this. I think it was... Wacharachai. I mean, that was
Wacharachai.
Yeah. When he was at Kasama.
He was my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, no way. God. Really? That's so odd.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's awkward.
That's the story. Yeah, that was when he was at Kasama, because he has his own gym now, or he had his own gym.
No, yeah, that was with my dad. Yeah, no, not anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of funny. There you go. So that happened. I mean, and it's crazy, because I think he even got to a point where he, I guess he told us or something when I was there at that time. This is like 2006 or seven, where he got to a point where he was saying that he didn't love the sport anymore, you know, for a while. He went through that for a while, like where he just did it because he had to do it, you know, and
For the money.
Yeah. So I mean, I understand that. And it's cool that you stuck with it because you are where you are today. And that's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still laughing about that.
I can't believe that. Sorry.
It's just like, oh shit.
What a small world.
Yeah. All right. So your next fight is going to be in 2 weeks against what's her name? Teresa Gunnarsson. And then when are you going to be fighting again for Lion Fight? Do you have any word on that? Or I mean, I know Muay Thai Grand Prix is in cahoots with them, but do you know when the next Lion Fight in the US is going to be?
Not 100%, but hopefully July 28th at Connecticut.
Okay, very cool. Very cool.
And that fits in really well because I break up the week before in England for the summer, you know, because I work at the school, obviously. So the day I break up, the next day I'll be flying to America, you know, to get there before the fight. So it works out really well for me, so I don't have to book time off work.
Okay, very cool. All right, so, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been an interview with Imam Barlow, 98 fights. She's going to hit the 100 mark pretty soon. 100 pro fights, more than 100 pro fights. You know, it's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know, you know, your story, which has been really unique and interesting. And also talking about ex-boyfriends. That was awesome. yeah.
Oh, good.
But
thank you. Thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. We wish you nothing but the best, nothing but success. Hopefully, you know, one day we get to see you fight here. Vinny's up in New York, so we'll see if we can, you know, catch you fight in Connecticut.
Wicked.
Yeah. But you know, so yes, once again, nothing but success, and thank you for being on the show, and you know, nothing but luck.
No problem. And to you too.
Thank you. Muay Thai คือชีวิต. All right, everybody. So we wanted to thank Imam Barlow for coming on the show. Pretty killer. All the way from the UK representing Assassins Muay Thai. And pretty fun person to talk to. Really cool girl, really cool woman that's, you know, really doing a lot of great things in the sport. One of the top fighters in the game. And I was surprised. I mean, I did not know. I mean, I know she had like 100 something pro fights, but or almost there. She's almost there, but I didn't know everything there was about her amateur career. So she's almost hitting like 200 fights, and that's pretty impressive, man. What did she say? She was like, she's already fought like 50 guys and 50 boys in her career.
Well, yeah, half of her junior fights were against guys.
Yeah. So, she actually has a job as a teacher with kids that have behavioral issues, a boys' school with behavioral issues. So, yeah, man, she's been kicking boys' asses for a while, dude. But real fun person to talk to. Awesome girl. Very unique story. And she's a current Lion Fight champion. She's also Infusion champion. She's going to be right now in 2 weeks. She's going to be fighting at Muay Thai Grand Prix. That'll be her 99th fight. And then she told us she will be fighting in Lion Fight, I guess, sometime in June or July. I don't know when the next Lion Fight will be, but her Lion Fight will be. So she'll hit the 100 mark in pro fights, which is crazy, you know. So definitely a killer in the ring. Very nice person outside of it. So we wish her nothing but the best. And as always, you know, we thank all the fighters that come on the show for taking the time out of their busy training schedule to come on the show. She was actually at a friend's house and took the time to speak with us. So that was pretty cool. All right, guys. So with all that said, we're going to wrap up here. But before we go, just remember that you can check out the podcast, as always, at strikingcorner.com. It's always available there. And so check out all the other podcasts, all the other interviews and articles that we have on thestrikingcorner.com. You can also find us on social media at Striking Corner on Instagram, at Striking Corner on Twitter, and on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/strikingcorner. We're very active on our social media, I would say more so than the website itself. You know, our podcast is what we're really focusing on, so you can hear the podcast on any outlet, whether it be iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play. We're on a bunch of different things. I know somebody else had said something on Instagram that they're using it to download some app that they're using. I forgot the name of it, but
Podcast Addict.
Podcast Addict, is it?
Yep.
Yeah, Podcast Addict is the app that they were using. They were saying they recommend that one as well. So we're on everywhere. So you guys can check it out. And thank you for listening. I know you guys have a lot of people have been listening to our podcasts and the numbers have been going up. And so we thank you guys all for tuning in and for giving us great feedback. So remember, you can find us on all of those outlets and on that new app, Podcast Addict. You can find me on Instagram at Eric Rivera TSC. That is my underscore TSC. You can find me on Instagram and you can contact me at eric@strikingcorner.com. And Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
Any social media outlet as Vinny Scotto, S-I-M-T, or you can email me at vinny@strikingcorner.com.
All right, and you can always contact us at info@strikingcorner.com for any business inquiries or anything like that. Vinny will be handles that side of things. So if you guys want to, if you have any ideas or if you have any, you want to promote your product on the Striking Corner or you want to, you know, basically share some ideas, you know, contact us at info@strikingcorner.com. And as always, we thank our sponsors, Muay Thai Addict. Get a 10% off by using the promo code STRIKING when you go to Muay Thai Addict. And get 15% off at 3leopard.com, which is 3leopard liniment. Get 15% off by using the promo code STRIKING there as well. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. And we will be back in 2 weeks with another podcast and another great guest. All the guests that we have on the podcast are great. So we thank everybody that listens to the podcast and that supports the podcast. We will talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.